Hey, so I'm John Mark from Winkler, Manitoba. Most of you should maybe know because I'm in youth track also. But if you don't, it's okay. Yeah, see, somebody knows me. Okay, but I'm going to share a short testimony about my life pretty much and about kind of expectations going through life in high school and stuff. So I was born in a Christian family. My dad is a pastor. He's been for like 23 years. So that's all I know pretty much is being a pastor's kid. And with that came a lot of expectations, people looking at me and being like, oh, you have to be a certain way, you have to act a certain way. So I kind of felt that pressure, and I felt like I had to be a certain person that I wasn't, and I had to do certain things. And people would come to me and be like, oh, you play guitar in church, and oh, help out in the nursery and all that. And I thought I kind of had to, because it was my job. And at the same time, I had to act like happy about it, even though I didn't really enjoy it. And people then came up to me and said like stuff like, you play the guitar and all that, and the only reason you're up there is because of your dad. You're actually not that great. And other people would come and say like, everybody here is nice to you. It's not because really they like you, but because of your dad. He's a pastor, so they kind of have to pretend to like you. And it was only a couple people, but it really hurt. And I was like, wow, it's supposed to be a church, a safe environment. And instead, I'm getting kind of put down. And I have to perform, and I'm not myself. But at school, I can be myself. And my friends like me for who I was. And it was a lot better. So I was like, school, where people enjoy who I am, or church, where they really don't. So I kind of ditched Christianity and said, hey, my friends at school, it's so much better. I can be myself, and I don't have to worry about how I act and all that. So I still attended church and went to youth, but my heart really wasn't into it. I really didn't care about any of it, really. I just attended because I thought I had to. And it was like that all through high school. I didn't read my Bible or pray at all. My connection with God was completely dead. And then by grade 12, when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do after high school, it was either university or come to Toronto. Toronto was an option because my sister and my cousins and my dad, they all came here, so I was kind of pressured on that side too. And what really made my decision was because I did grow up as a Christian, and I did feel empty inside when I lost the connection with God. So I decided to come to Toronto, give it a shot, and if it wouldn't work, well then I guess I thought that Christianity maybe wasn't for me. So I came here, and God really blew me away, and he really, like, put my heart alive again and really showed me that Christianity is not just going to church and performing and making the people at church happy, but, like, your everyday connection with him. And Christianity is your connection, your walk with God, not church. Church is really important and is a really good place to refill yourself, but it's not supposed to put you down and weigh you down. It's there to help you, really. So I learned that here, and it's been a huge experience. It's been really great, and I've loved it so far. And when I get back home, I really hope to go there and just share what I've learned and really not have to perform and not have to, like, pretend to be somebody I'm not at church just because of my dad and my family. So, yeah, pretty much it.
Hi, I'm Lisa, and I'm from Sweden, quite far away from here. When I was praying for this night, what I was going to say here, I just felt that God said that he wanted me to say this to you, that it doesn't matter where you've been, where you're at right now, how your relationship with God is, how it's going in school, or no matter what people think about you, if they care about you, he still loves you, he still wants to go deeper with you and care, and he cares about you. The things I was supposed to say, I'm not going to say that anymore because I feel like God wants me to say something else. And that's quite funny because I've always been like a person that wants to have control, know exactly what I'm going to say. I grew up in a Christian family, was the middle kid. My brother and my sister were really like into talking, and I was the quiet kid. When I was really young, I was really talking, but I became more quiet and quiet because my mom was sick and didn't have much time for me. And my dad was working a lot, so he didn't have time for me, so I had no one to talk to. And my sister and brother were very active and talking, so they talked to each other and was like backing off more and more. And I didn't enjoy school so much. I liked to study and to learn more, but I didn't fit into the class. And I had some friends, but I never felt that that I was in the right place. And I became more and more shy, and more lonely, and more empty inside. I was like, "What am I doing here? There's no place for me." And but God had different things for me. He started to speak to me when I was 15, 16. That I want you. I'm longing for you. I haven't forgot about you. I have a destiny for you. And it was really struggling in the beginning because in the church I grew up in, you didn't believe that you can hear God's voice. You didn't believe in Holy Spirit. So it was when I started going to camps that I was like, oh, you can hear God's voice. You can get pictures. He can talk to you. So that really like got me. And God has been showing more and more over the years that he really cares for me, that he loves me. And we always have people around us. We have family that's supposed to be there for us, but they're not always that it can do that. And we have friends, but they can't always support us in the way we need. And I want to read from Isaiah 49. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And that's God saying to you that he has not forget you. And that was what he's been saying to me the last couple of years. I have not forget you. And you are so close to me that I have your name in my hands. And that really touched me. That's why I'm still a Christian. That's why I'm standing here today. Because he called my name. He dragged me closer to him. And he wants to be with me. And he has so much for me. And that's why I'm here.
Hi. First of all, I'm going to sit on the floor. Okay. I feel better. Okay. I'm Ludovica. I'm from Italy. And I'm 18. Doesn't matter. 19. And mine, it's a Christian family, so I was born with the idea of God and everything. But because I live in Italy, there are a lot of Catholic churches. So Catholic churches are like this. You go in the church, and you're like, shh, 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 shh. You can't make any sound, because if God wakes up, he would be angry with you. So it's like, you can't walk, you can't do anything, and everything is so perfect. Like, you have to say always the same things. Like, everything has to be, has it, on the sheet of paper you have, and I hate it. So I stopped going to church, but I've never stopped believing in God. In fact, I was always thinking that God was this big old man on a throne somewhere. I was like, okay, he is there. But there were so many people in love with God, with this pure love. I was like, how can people love that God that is there? It's like weird, it's not normal. So I decided to know more about this God. And I was always at home like talking about it, but never touched me so much, because what parents says to you is not so important. If someone else talk to you the same thing, it's more valuable. But so I went here, and here we started learning that God is not up there, but he is next to you, he's helping you in everything, and he wants the best for everyone. And I was, okay, yeah, he loves me, I know this, I read it on the Bible, and everyone was always telling me that he loves me, so I know this. But what I also knew, it was that I knew it only in my mind, And I wasn't feeling this love for God and from God. So I was like, okay, this is weird. The first week here, we have a teaching about the heart of God, the Father heart of God. It was really interesting because there I realized that we have, because we suffer sometimes, we always try to protect our heart with things. Like, okay, he hurt me because he's done this to me. So I felt, oh, okay, I have to close my heart so no one can hurt me. But closing your heart, you will also close your heart to love, not only to bad things. So I was closing my heart also to God, and I was feeling more empty inside. So I was like, this is weird. I feel so empty. I have to do something for feeling better. I have to, like, being, I don't know, like, trying to do things for being appreciated. Okay, that. And I started doing things that can make you feel like less empty, because it's not full. It's less empty, but doesn't change anything, because that emptiness, you will always have it. Because our heart was made for being loved by God. So if we try to replace the thing, it's not the same. If we have a glass of water, this is made for water. So if we put stones inside, it's not all full. There's always emptiness. So when we had the Father heart the first week, I was like, yeah, cool. I know I have it, this heart of stone. So let's try and pray. So we all prayed. We all asked God to break our walls. We all asked God to come in our heart and change completely our heart. And I was, okay, I've prayed. Yeah, it's cool. But after a month, I was feeling like always the same. Like, I wasn't feeling so different. After a month and a half, I woke up in the morning because of the alarm. It was really, really loud. So I was like sleeping. I was like, I felt my heart. I was like, oh, I can't die like this. It was awful. So I woke up and I felt my heart like beating so fast. And I said, okay, it's normal. Because before, I was feeling my heart beating only if I was doing sport. So if I was running, after I could feel my heart beating. If I was like now, like doing nothing, I couldn't feel it. I was like, I'm dead, I'm alive, I don't know, but I'm walking, so it doesn't matter. During that day and also the day after, I started noticing that everything was starting affecting my feelings more. Like, there was a sun, and I was so happy for the sun. And we had tea for breakfast. Yes, tea! I was like, okay, this is weird. Like, okay, I am the kind of person that I am. I always try to be happy, but not so happy. I was like, okay. But also, pain started affecting me more. So if something like, if some of my friends were hurt or something, I was like, oh, I'm so sorry for you. And I felt this incredible pain in my heart. And only after I realized it was because I had no walls anymore around my heart. So my heart was open to pain, but to happiness. And I was like, okay, now I feel better because my heart is alive. I can feel my heart beating, but I also have pain. I can feel more pain. So I was like, I don't want to feel more pain. Like, I want to feel good. I want happiness. I don't want pain. And I realized that God doesn't want us to suffer. So I said, okay, I'm going to ask God what to do. And we prayed, and I prayed, and I realized that if we are during a bad situation, we can choose to see the bad thing and the good thing. Because for everything, there's always a thing for being thankful for, even if it's a stupid thing. Okay, it's a bad day, it's raining, and it's snowing, or something. But there's always that thing that is good. Okay, like, it's raining, it's so, like, you're so wet, but maybe there's no wind, so you're not so cold. So it's bad, it's good, there's no wind. So after that, I realized that I can choose to be happy, and I can choose how much things, the bad things, would affect my heart. And so now I feel so happy, because now I can decide to see the good things in everything. And I honestly want everyone to be like this, because with all happy people all around the world, it's more beautiful. Because when I go back home, I will be so happy for everything I know. And they will always see, like, why you are happy? Like, you have, your computer is broken. Why you're happy? And I'm like, because maybe now I can receive a better one or something like that. I can buy another one. Like, we can always find something better. And people looking at us, that we can always find something for being happy and not sad, for something for choosing the best in everything, they will say, oh, wait, I love that kind of thoughts. I want to be that, like that. And they will come to us and they will say, hey, I like you. What do you have that I don't have? And you can say, oh, you know, I have a friend. He is the best. Oh, I want to meet him. Yes, he made my mind change completely. He is my lover. He is so good. Oh, what? I want to meet him. Oh, you can. You have always him on your side. Where? Everywhere. Okay, can you explain this? So, you could say, you know, you have a God that really cares about you. He really cares about me, my pain, my love, my need of love. He really cares about me, so he really cares about you. He really loves you. And you can shake people with that, because you know that God loves you, but some people really doesn't realize that he loves you. Not he loves everyone. It's not everyone, it's you in particular, it's you, and it's you. And I feel he wants to break the walls around our heart, because we need to let him love us so we can learn how to love ourselves, God, and others. If we don't reach love, how can we give something we don't have? So, in a Bible, there's a verse about the heart of stone, because it's like, okay, you know things, but when you can see that the word of God actually says this, you say, oh, okay, if the Bible says this, it's right. Like, I can say it's right. And in Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your body and give you a heart of flesh. And there is not I will give everyone, it's I will give you. So I will give you, not I will give to all the world. I will have a relationship with you, not with the world. The world, it's good, but I want you. It's really personal. So just open your heart and Jesus to God to be loved. Amen. Who wants the mic?
Hello. My name is Matthias, and I'm from Denmark, and I'm 20 years old. I want to talk about rejection. When I was in fourth grade, my best friend for like 6 years, we were always together and played, and yeah, he was my really good friend. He decided that I was not cool enough for him, and he wanted some friends that were more cool, and he wanted the more popular friends in school, and I was not one of them. So he tried to get some new friends and kind of pushed me away, and that really hurt me. And in the end, they had a vote if I could be a part of the cool group, and I couldn't. So that's something that really hurt me and made me like insecure. And at the same point, my teacher told me that I was not good enough for the school and I had to redo the fourth grade. So my parents, they took me out of that school and into another school. But my teacher and my friends rejecting me made me feel really insecure and feeling that I have nothing to offer and I'm just no one. I turned really quiet and I had a really low self-esteem, and I believed that I was not good enough. And this was how I lived for like 10 years, being quiet and always by myself, and never thinking, like always, like in the school when the teacher asked the question, I always had the answer, but I was too afraid to raise my hand and say, I know that. And in 10th grade, I had to go to another school. And for the entire year, my classmates, they never heard me say any words, because I was like, no, I don't want to say it because it may be wrong and everybody would laugh at me. So I decided to come to this school. And in the beginning, I was really, I'm afraid, all these new friends, are they going to like me or are they just going to reject me? What happened is that they really liked me. And I learned about how God loves me, and how it's, as Ludo said, it's personal. He loves me, and he loves each one of you, because he made you. It's like he's your dad, and like imagine yourself in a couple of years, maybe 10, 15 years, you're going to have a child. That newborn child is like Kevin and Amy just had a child over here in the school. And you get the child from the nurse and you hold it in your hand. Can you do anything other than just love it? It hasn't done anything. It's completely new and clean. And you look at it and all you can do is like love it. That's how God feels about each one of you. And when you learn that, it changes your life. It doesn't matter what people think about you because you know that God loves you. Fortunately, people do like me. So it's not that it's only God that loves you, and it doesn't matter what the world does. But when God loves you, and when you know that, it changes your perspective of life, and you become more self-confident, and that your confidence shines on to other people, and they see something in you that is special, and people will appreciate that and tell you you're a good guy. That's my testimony.
Thank you. Well, that was really good. Yeah, so what we want to do is like make a response to God, don't we? When those guys were speaking, there may have been some of you like hearing God speak to them, say, yeah, that's something similar happened in my life, or I can really relate to what they were saying. And so what I want to do is just have a quick time of like prayer. Yeah, just really want to pray for like the Holy Spirit to just come. Do people know what I mean by that? Like, you know, God is three, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the Son of the Father, and he's the one that died on the cross, obviously. The Father is the one that, like, sent that Son to come to earth. He's given us the Holy Spirit, and it's like, that's like the presence of God on earth today. And I believe personally that really that knowing the Holy Spirit is like one of the only ways to sort of make it in life, because it's like the revelation of the reality that God lives in me, and that God loves me, and that God is alive. And obviously, yeah, receiving the Holy Spirit happens like again and again and again. We're always praying in this church, come Holy Spirit, you know, more Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is often like, is a sensation, I suppose, like an actual tangible feeling. Often could give you like goosebumps or butterflies, or there's often a sense of peace that comes upon your heart, comes upon your emotion, your sort of like your thoughts, just a really strong peace that is not because you've had the perfect amount of sleep and you've got all your work done. It's a peace that transcends understanding. And often there's like a stillness, or there's like a joy that bubbles up. Sometimes the Holy Spirit likes to come like fire. And that fire is sort of that passion of God to rise up in you, to kind of rise up and almost compel you to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. So yeah, I was wondering if we could just pray, and some of the team here, some of the school of ministry team, wouldn't mind going around and just like laying a hand on the different people and asking for the Holy Spirit to fill you another time. To fill you up another time. So why don't we all just close our eyes. Yeah, Holy Spirit, would you come in this place tonight? Holy Spirit, would you come and do ministry with us, Father? Holy Spirit, would you fill each one who wants to know you more tonight with a fresh touch from you? Yeah, Holy Spirit. I pray that these guys were here would know that you're with them. They would know that you are with them. That you are for them, not against them. Yeah, Father, that they would know that you delight in them. That you're proud of them, Father. I pray that the Holy Spirit would give you that peace beyond understanding that. Yeah. Yeah, Father, would you just increase your joy in their lives? Increase their awareness of you, God. I believe that some of you have a real passion to see your friends saved, like we all have, that we really want people to encounter God, the God of love, the God of mercy, the God of grace, not the God of judgment or the God of religion, but the real living, fun, personal God. And I just really feel like the Lord wants to give you a heart for your friends, give you more of a broken heart for your friends. So don't be afraid of feeling like the Holy Spirit is moving on you. The Holy Spirit is touching you. Just let him touch you. Just let him come. Because he really wants to release a heart for evangelism, for spreading the good news. So Father, for those that are feeling that, Lord, would you fill them with your fire? Would you fill them with your love? Would you show them how you want to move in their families, how you want to move in their jobs, how you want to move in their schools, Father? The plans that you have, Father.